Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Come on.
Oh, keep it down, Darren.
Oof. God, you sound really deep and intense.
Oh, God, do I sound like a man?
Yes, you sound very, very gravelly.
Oh, my head.
Oh, is it like that? Oh, it's
thick.
A bit sore.
No, it's not sore. It's just thick and confused.
What's new?
Oh, Darren. Gave you that one.
All right.
Because you know Pete Waterman's on.
Yeah.
Oh, God, listen to my voice. You know, I sound like a eunuch. You know, Pete is on. Then so I've been trying to be clever to think of some of his hits that we can combine with a gardening twist.
Okay.
Like Bananarama and Venus Flytrap, you see. Wait, there's more. Sonia, You'll Never Stop Me From Loving You. Y-E-W. Who's Leaving Who by Witch Hazel Dean. Yeah, I like that one. Hang on, there's a couple more. Jason Donovan, Nothing Can Lift and Divide Us. You like that one. And then Final Element, and I'm pretty pleased with this one, right? Kylie, and Shocked, because that's what would happen if you mowed over the cable. That's all I've come up with. But I was pretty pleased.
That's good.
I'm Pete Waterman, and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. It's always better the devil you mow.
Hey. Yeah.
I love Pete.
Yeah, he's ace, isn't he?
Pete's brilliant.
He's ace. I've already chatted to him. I gave him a call to have a general chat. So we'll have a catch up a little bit later on. Anyway, shall we begin?
Yes.
Are you all ready?
Yes.
All right then.
Molly Green
and Darren Rudge.
Well, yes. Sometimes that's God's way of getting you to enjoy gardener's world.
The Happy Garden.
So a very, very warm welcome, Peapod people. Welcome to another episode of your Happy Garden Podcast. It is mid-February. It is the most beautiful day as Darren and I are recording. The garden is starting to burst forth. The buds are budding. The seeds are now sprouting. And it's a really, really exciting and very, very busy time in the garden. So, yeah, let me officially introduce your expert to proceedings, the laughing gardener, Darren Rudge.
Hello.
Sexy just hello.
I just thought I'd keep my voice down today.
Well,
because I know you're a bit precious.
A bit fragile today. My head really, really hurts. Oh, God. I don't know why I'm laughing. It was Chinese New Year, wasn't it, the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
So we're celebrating. We had a Chinese and karaoke night last night round us. So thank you for allowing us to be recording the podcast in the afternoon, Darren. Yeah,
you didn't invite me.
Quiet morning. Oh, would you have liked to go? I've never heard you do karaoke. Are you good?
Oh, well, you know what my singing voice is
like.
They call him the Pavarotti of Bloxwich.
The Pavlova of Bloxwich. No, I forgot. Yeah, you do sing quite often on this podcast, don't you?
I do a mean Nessun Dorma.
Yeah, you do. What was the last one? Tiny Tim. Tiptoe through the tulips.
Tiptoe through the tulips. Well, it was my version.
I was going to say, it was, yeah. Alla Darren. Right, what are we going to be doing on the podcast, Dazzler, today?
Well, from me, I've got a money-saving tip.
Mm.
Okay. I've got six, not five, but six, I think, pretty good jokes.
Nice.
And then I've got some jobs for the week. And, of course, I'll be answering questions and things like that. And we've had some emails in, haven't we, Molly?
Yeah, lots
of
questions.
You've been sharing some emails with me. Plus, after many, many promises, folks, I have rights to the Facebook page.
Yes.
So prepare yourselves.
I don't know how to phrase this delicately. I had to tell you what you could and couldn't.
Well, there was some quite explicit things that I could not post.
That you can't post.
On the Facebook.
Oh, brilliant. So the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page, yeah, it's not all me these days. Ah, Darren's got, well, I was going to say free reign. Oh, God.
Yeah, free reign.
Free reign. Listen, we've also got Andy Lound coming up as well on today's pod. Today we've got the history of grass pitches, which is a really interesting one.
Wow.
Yeah, from Amazing Astound with Andy Lound. So all that and more to come up.
All of this and more still to come on
The Happy Garden
with Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
I am going to need my glasses today. I just, I just looked at my sheet and it's all blurred.
How much did you have to drink?
A lot. It was really, really, really good, though. I had such a really good time last night. I really did. Kung Hei Fat Choi.
Oh, yes. I'll open the window in a bit.
Right.
Oh, dear.
Darren. Darren, now where are we? Now listen, before we commence...
I can't breathe.
Before we commence, Caleb from Clarkson's Farm was supposed to be on this week.
Yeah.
I've bumped him down to next week because I thought maybe only one celebrity per podcast because we don't want to peak. So we'll do him next week about the archaeology found on Diddley Squat Farm in Chipping Norton. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, I tell you what, Professor Alice.
Oh, yes, Roberts. What did you think of?
Yeah, moved my world last week.
Did she?
She did, yeah.
Great response to her.
Yeah, absolutely fab.
Mm. Good. We all know how much you adore that woman. She is fabulous, though. She's just absolutely wonderful. We love Dr. and Professor Alice Roberts. Now, let's start. Let's commence. Let's launch in. Have you got your jobs for the week ready?
I have.
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes.
Three, two, one. Go, Darren!
Well, we're going to start with the lawn this week, folks. So you can mow in February. It's not a problem. And actually, if you do give your lawn a mow, then it'll be nice and tidy for the spring to come. So neaten up lawn edges, tidy those through too as well. And if you've got moss growth, then you can apply a lawn moss killer at this time of year. And you can start to think about fertilising as well, but perhaps leave that until early March. Humps and hollows in the lawn can be removed and while the soil is moist, but don't walk on the lawn if it's absolutely sodden. Early potatoes can be put into the ground to sprout with a little bit of warmth and try and cultivate that ground now for the vegetables to come. So clear out those weeds. Any old crops need to be gone. Should have been gone in October and November, you naughty people. And shallots and garlic can be planted early in dry weather.
Puff! Perfect. Thank you very much, Dazzler. We'll do some more of those in a little while. As I speak to you, I've had the most lovely morning outside. I'm pressing the buttons on the Happy Garden podcast with dirt under my fingernails. Darren, and I know you've been out walking the dog and enjoying this beautiful sunshine we've got today. A couple of things from our end to ask you.
Yeah.
Mr. Green wanted me to ask you about seedlings. He's been doing some tomatoes and some basil and several different seeds in trays. They become instantly leggy. He's got a little bit of bottom heat on, and he wasn't sure whether it was the heat or the light, or why would they go instantly leggy? And what can he do anything about it now?
It is the heat, Molly. He needs to just literally cool things down. As soon as they're germinated, if you've got the heated propagator on, turn it off.
As in the day?
Yeah.
As soon as you see them?
As soon as they're germinated, get them into cooler conditions and it stops them from etiolating. So just remember...
From what?
Etiolating. That means drawn. That's the technical term for it. So they become drawn and leggy, like you say.
Yeah.
But its technical term is etiolation, and it's to do with the heat. Okay, they will reach for the light, but actually the heat gives them that extra impetus just to push on. So as soon as you see them germinate, turn off that heat or get them out of the propagator. Okay, and that's what the problem is.
Okay, thank you. I've also done some Toms and some lavender. I've found some seeds knocking about, 2014.
Lovely.
So that would be an interesting one. So a decade old. Oh, which reminds me, still on the Happy Garden podcast desk, I must send you half of these. I must pop these in a jiffy. These dwarf French beans, I think it's 120 beans, and these are from 1984. So these are 40 years old.
Now, you must do that soon, because with my Level 3 students, where I teach, we're going to start to sow veg very, very soon. So we can run a trial with those and see whether they actually germinate.
Does it matter when? Because it says on the packet May to July to sow. Does it matter?
No, not at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you can sow them indoors, and again with a little bit of bottom heat, and you'll get them through, and you get an earlier crop.
Okay.
But it's just outdoors. You really want them outdoors when the risk of frost is over.
Oh, so they still look quite healthy. I just had this awful thought, because they've been sat in the pod room for about 6 weeks, that the mice might have been at them. But no, they're okay.
Instant germination test. Take a glass of water.
Yeah.
Throw them in a glass of water, and any that float aren't viable.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because the embryo has died and been replaced with air, so they will float to the surface. If the embryo is still alive, those that have got a live embryo will sink, okay, because they're heavy. So there you go.
Good tip.
You can do a germination test. I'm good at tips.
You're very, very good at tips. And your money-saving tips coming up a little bit later on.
I'm Pete Waterman, and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. It's always better...
Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Wait a second. Oh, God, Darren, my head.
I'm Pete Waterman, and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. I should be so mucky.
See, that's a good one, isn't it? Our chat with Pete coming up shortly here on the Happy Garden Podcast. Now, let's get to one of the emails. Got loads in for Darren for you this week on the Happy Garden Podcast. It is thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch and ask Darren a question, or if you want to post a picture and then like, oh, yeah, Deb isn't a bit, You're going to have to do more of the speaking, I think, today, Darren.
It's a very sexy voice you've got today, Molly, I have to say.
You think?
Yeah, it's very, very croaky.
We had a smoke machine on last night. That's causing half the problem, I think.
I mean, I like listening to the, who is it, Mariana, or is Mariella Frostrop?
Frostrop,
I like her.
Right, Darren. We learn something about you every week. All right there, Dazzler. Right, so as I was saying, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. That is our email address. So, Molly, Darren, I've messaged in before about my pineapple. I don't get it. What?
Sorry. No, I've just gone to a dim, deep, dark place.
Oh, dear. Recesses of Rudge brain. So we've had questions or photos in that we've put on the Facebook page from Brian and Paul about pineapples. And this is from Joe, by the way. Joe says, the big pineapple has bloomed. Okay. Of mine. See photo. I forwarded you the photo.
Yeah.
So I've cut the pineapple off when it died. I've now got three babies at the base, but I'm not sure what to do. Darren, do I A, repot it all in fresh compost? And if so, what compost shall I use? Or do I B, tease them out and repot them all separately, in essence getting three pineapple plants? Or C, just leave it as it is? Any advice gratefully received?
Well, it's a great thing, isn't it, that you've got three, two growing at the base of the original one. But if they were mine, I would just repot them. You might find that as you're repotting, they actually fall apart, so you'll end up with three. But ordinary multipurpose compost with a little bit of vermiculite or even horticultural grit, that's really fine grit, added to the compost that you actually use. Just mix it in around about 25% of vermiculite or grit, because that will give a little bit of extra drainage, which is what you want. You don't want that compost to be too claggy, and by that I mean hold on to water. So just mix it together and give it a fresh bit of compost. Now, when they start to grow and enlarge, then you can think about dividing them if you want to, and then you can have the three. But I'd wait until they're a little bit bigger. Perhaps give it a bit of a repot using the compost mix that I've just specified, and then send us some pictures as it starts to grow away. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
We love pictures and love people to take our advice and then give us some feedback on the advice that's been given and whether it's worked or not.
In fact, one of the emails that I'm going to be reading you a little bit later on is a catch-up, is a follow-on, is pictures after your advice. So, yeah, we do love that. A couple more bits to this email. Joe says, loving the podcast, Molly and Darren. Gets funnier and funnier every week. Any chance you can replay the bit where, Molly, you burped and then you both started laughing? Now, that was from Christmas. I think that was the only burp that's ever appeared on the Happy Garden podcast.
Yeah.
I did find this clip a little bit earlier. Listen to this. Jesus. Oh, dear. Oh, my cheeks hurt. Just empty the cracker out there.
More to come next week.
Is the, I'm going to choose a different cracker next week because that was pap. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
You could not do that again if you tried.
That deserves a round of applause. Oh, Darren. Oh, dear.
See,
yes.
This really is the difference between us and Gardener's World.
I was literally just thinking, no one else is as uncouth.
Can you imagine Monty Don just doing a massive burp?
Well, Darren, you and I have always said it's honest broadcasting, isn't it? We're upfront and transparent. What you see is what you get.
Now, I'll tell you this. This is a funny story.
Go on.
I used to have a really good respect for a horticultural lecturer that sort of trained me. Okay.
Can you tell us who? No, I can't.
Okay. I can't divulge a name. I can't, you know, and we got on like a house on fire. Really nice guy. You know, I had a grand respect for him, you know, an elderly gentleman, until one day he let out a massive fart.
Oh, that wouldn't have been his fault.
And I stared at him and he looked at me and all he said was, better out than in.
Fair enough.
Like, you know, you've got this god.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. I'm sure I've heard you let one out before.
Me?
When we were presenting Birmingham in Bloom. I have to stand next to you at the lectern for hours.
Oh, I thought I'd got away with those.
Anyway, look, let's move on to some more gardening. I'm painfully aware this is getting out of hand.
It's very base. It's a bit base, isn't it?
Anyway, when Jo's listening to us, when this comes out on Friday, she's going to be in Iceland, she says, at the end of the email. The country, not the shop.
All right. I was going to say, which aisle?
But she will be listening. Thank you both. P.S. June was fab on the pod before last. That's sweet.
I proposed to my wife in Iceland, next to the prawns.
You didn't, did you? Where did you propose?
What?
Where did you propose?
Where did I propose?
Oh, you don't want to say.
Can't remember.
Listen, don't forget it's Valentine's...
38 years ago.
I know. Don't forget it's Valentine's Day. Well, it will have... Actually, it'll have come and gone by the time this is released. But just as your friend, I'm telling you, it's on Wednesday. Don't forget. Get her something nice.
Forget what?
Darren.
What's she need? Lids for the saucepans.
Or some half price. It'll all be half price on Thursday. Right, right. Let's do some of your money saving tips, and then we'll get Pete Waterman on.
All right. Then.
All right. So every week on the Happy Garden Podcast, and by the way, you're more than welcome to share any tips, any advice on saving money as well. You can drop us an email or get in touch on Instagram. We'll post something on the Facebook page as well. We're here to share advice, aren't we, Dazzler?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Please do, yeah. Anything you've got.
Right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, live on the Happy...
Sorry, what?
Nothing.
Okay.
I was just preparing myself.
Okay.
Now, live on...
Sorry, what?
Now, live on the Happy Garden Podcast, it's time for...
Darren's Money Saving Tips.
Go!
Well, thinking about Valentine's Day, you see, I am an old romantic. If you're thinking of giving an orchid for Valentine's Day, well, feeding should be done once a week using a balanced liquid feed or fertiliser. You can use your tomato food, really, folks, a quarter of its normal strength. But the thing is, orchids hate to have water on their leaves, okay? Especially if it contains fertiliser, because it will burn. Here's a quick tip for reducing leaf burn. So mix your liquid fertiliser like you normally would do, and don't go out and buy proprietary orchid fertiliser. Like I say, quarter strength tomato food will do the job. Then put that into water, as you would normally mix it, and then pop it into ice cube trays and let it freeze. Now place one cube on your pot a week, and this will slowly defrost, feeding your plant, and no more chance of getting water on the leaves and having burnt or scorched leaves. But here's the warning, folks. Don't get using those ice cubes in your gin and tonic, because you just might regret it. Okay, there you go. There's my money-saving tip this week, Molly.
Tips.
Good, Darren. Right then.
That was a bit of a sigh.
I need a glass of water, I've got to be honest. I need to pop to the kitchen. I don't know whether just to go to the ad break now, head of Pete Waterman, or to ask you to do an interlude. Oh my goodness, I've just remembered.
What's that?
I've just remembered, I forgot to ask you at the top of the show if you're pleading if you're pleading an adjournment on medical grounds for not doing the Raj... The Raj Rap. Oh, the Raj Rap. You're not doing it.
I am. I've still got a wonky eye.
Yeah, but you're not doing it today. I hope not, because we were using the Bon Tempe Minstrel last night with the frivolities, and I don't know where it is. It's not in the podcast room anymore. This is
God, this was a swinging party.
Oh no,
wasn't
it wasn't like that.
Eh?
No. But it did, it was pulled out at one
car
point.
Car keys in a bowl.
No. But it was. We got it out at one point, and I don't know. Someone was playing it, and someone was singing. This is the little mini keyboard that Darren's going to do his horticultural rap to. But you couldn't do it last week because your eye had come off. And
basically.
You haven't done it this week either. Anyway, do you want to sing and I'll go and get
yeah.
some?
Yeah.
I'll go and get some O.
Okay.
Are you ready? Where's my shoes?
Yeah.
Hang on. Okay. I'm leaving you in charge, Darren.
Okay.
All right, go on. I won't be long. Future Molly speaking. I'm afraid I've realised that Darren sang My Ding-a-ling whilst I was out of the room, so I'm replacing it with some elevator music. Dazzler, I've got a couple of questions for you very, very shortly. One on moving an Acer from a cracked pot. Update on the advice you gave. And also on aloe vera plants coming up as well.
Excellent.
Yes.
Sounds brilliant.
Oh, looking forward to this bit, though. Our Pete Waterman. Now, Darren, you and I have known Pete for a long time because we worked with him for a long time. And he always used to collar you, didn't he, all the time for gardening advice.
Yeah, it was always about his rhododendrons and his azaleas. So I don't think he does much gardening, but he's got a gardener, hasn't he? And he certainly loves his garden.
Yeah. And he very kindly said that he'd come and join us on the Happy Garden podcast for a little bit of a horticultural chat. So I gave him a call a couple of days ago.
Molly.
Good morning, my darling.
How are you?
All right, a bit cold. Have you got snow or have you just got the rains?
No, just got rain. Have you got rain?
Yeah. But it's only 1 degree outside, so I've just been doing the geese and the chickens, and it is spiteful. It's breezy here as well.
Well, the geese and the ducks chased me up the gap this morning.
I forgot you got loads of geese.
Oh yeah, I got 30 geese.
At least they'll keep the grass down for you. Well, Pete, let's launch into this. Let's begin with, well, can you describe what your garden looks like?
It's quite patchy. In that it's not an overall garden. I've got like 5 different gardens.
Yeah.
So there's a garden in front of the kitchen. There's a garden in front of the house. There's a garden at the side of the house. And there's small gardens, you know, around the place. I did originally have a Japanese garden, beautiful Japanese garden, but that went by the wayside years ago when he started falling out. Because you buy a house, you've got lovely trees, 40 years later, those trees that you planted are now 120 foot.
Yeah. Yeah, and starting to cause subsidence to the house. Yes, we've had that here.
That was 2 years ago, that was 2 years ago.
What, yeah, you actually did? Know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was joking.
Blimey, yeah.
I was joking.
No. 2 years ago, I had to rebuild. Had serious cracks in the walls and had to move out for 2 weeks while they shored the house up. No. It's, you know, I mean, I'm surrounded. So I love trees. So we're actually surrounded by trees. And two of the big major trees at the front had gone under the house and undermined the foundations.
Oh, I said that in jest because we had the same here. It was an oak tree, which wasn't even near the house that much. But yeah, its roots had, I think it was a dry year, so its roots had gone searching.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
One question I did want to ask you, we had Dr. Alice Roberts on the Happy Garden podcast, and she was talking about loads of archaeology found in UK back gardens and front gardens, especially in lockdown. And you've mentioned your Japanese garden, and we know your love of fish and everything. When you've had any renovations or digging going in the garden, ever found anything, Shay Waterman?
No.
Oh.
No. My house was built in 1724.
Wow.
And you'd have thought that there'd have been a lot of sort of archaeology, but we have had metal detectors, mates, come up and around all the fields, and all we found is 1960s toy cars,
cool.
From the previous family. That's all.
Well, Darren would love that because he collects old like dinky cars and stuff. Oh, he'd salivate if he was if he saw your hoard.
Well, I'm not sure if he's well, I'm not sure if he saw the quality condition of this stuff.
Yeah. Rotted.
It wasn't exactly existing. Yeah, rotted was the word. Yeah,
rotted. Yeah. Listen, I thought of you because on the Happy Garden podcast we've been talking about growing fruit and veg from supermarket scraps. I planted some ginger yesterday, and lots of people have been talking about planting the tops of pineapples and stuff. I'm going to have a go. Would you believe if you plant a banana upside down, you'll get a banana plant? It's a bit more complicated than that, but literally stick a banana upside down in some soil. And I thought of you when I was watching the videos, because you didn't you used to work at Fife's? Wasn't one of your first jobs?
Yes. Yeah. It was down the bottom of the road. Yeah. You've triggered something there, actually.
Go on.
So my son's family live with me, and my daughter is South African. And she grows banana plants.
Oh.
So we do have some quite big indoor plants. And she's got really green fingers. I mean, you know, whatever she does, she gets them and gives them away to people, you know.
Well, nice.
But she did put wild garlic in the garden. We're now overrun with wild garlic.
Good problem.
So anybody knows a cure for killing wild garlic, I am in the market for it.
The wild stuff, that really, really spreads. We've already got it coming up amongst the snowdrops. Yeah, it is delicious.
Crikey, it spreads.
But bananas, Pete, you've just got to reiterate the story. The reason I thought of you was bananas, monkeys, spiders, Pete Waterman making some cash.
Yes, absolutely right.
Go on.
And it's interesting. I met somebody just before Christmas. Who'd also done the same, but he was up here in the northwest, and it wasn't Fife. So he had one of the other banana companies, but he told the same. You know, they bought the bananas in, and they gassed the bananas obviously to ripen them, and so the insects would fall out, and he would take them to school, but he didn't have the common sense to sell them. He gave them to the school. I said, "Oh, sell them half a crown apiece."
Well, you did. That was the beginning of Pete Waterman, the businessman, wasn't it? You flogging him at school.
It was pocket money, Molly. Yeah. That bought, you know, I couldn't afford the family, so I wanted a railway carriage or something like that, or a signal that you had to save up. Well, if you've got half a crown for a spider, well, you were 30-40% the way there.
How much would you
have got? Two spiders, you got £5. That's a carriage.
How much would you have got for a monkey?
Didn't do monkeys because you had to put them in formaldehyde.
Oh, God.
And so I took them to school. The school, you know, put them in jars. But, I mean, I wasn't getting involved with that formaldehyde. That's terrible stuff.
But you did take a dead monkey to school in a jar?
Yeah.
Obviously.
So Frederick Bird's had all these wonderful things, you know.
Love it.
Secondary school and everybody got a monkey collection. What's going on here?
Love it. Do you ever visit any gardens? I went to Packwood House yesterday, Lapworth in Warwickshire. Oh my God, the yew garden, I think, is like 17th century. When you go up and down the country, I know you don't get that much time, but do you ever get to National Trust or go in like Eden Project or go and visit gardens when you have got some time?
Actually, no, because I've never got time. But I have spent quite a bit of time in the King's Garden in Gloucestershire, so I guess that's a bit of one up the shit, a bit. So yeah, I've done some very famous gardens. I mean, I love Japan, so the gardens in Japan are just outstanding. I mean, amazing.
Oh, Pete, I'm so sorry. Hang on. Sorry, go ahead. That was just my check your mousetrap alarm going off. Apologies. Do continue.
All right.
Sorry, the King's Garden.
No, sorry. Yeah, so I've done when he was Prince Charles, you know, I was the Prince's Trust Ambassador for over 30 years. So quite regularly, I went down to Gloucestershire and spent time in his garden. I mean, his garden is quite amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Not because of the planting and the flowers, but some of the ideas of old trees that he does. You know, he uproots trees and creates a work of art with them. I thought that was really, really interesting. So he turns these root systems upside down and gets artists to work with them, and they look quite amazing. And all they are is roots of trees, you know, that builders have pulled out to build estates or highways or whatever. But he takes them and he's got a garden full of these artworks. They're quite extraordinary.
And you used to go down to the garden quite often?
Yeah, well, as an ambassador, I was there quite regularly and quite a few dudes. And he also, he has a great idea with the lavender. He is a passionate about lavender. So he has lavender around all his trees, which I thought was a great idea. I tried that, but the lavender didn't really work here. But I really like the way it worked there.
Oh, yeah, you either can or can't do lavender. It's, yeah, you're either one side. Yeah, I'm a can't.
No, I can't either. It just doesn't, I mean, I bought plenty back from him, but it never took. Never, I mean,
you know,
we tried everything.
Oh, my God. Oh, the pressure to have royal lavender cuttings. Right. And they rotted off.
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
They rotted off.
Oh, no, that's not fair.
But on a positive point, the balls that Molly Green gave me from the NEC show are still growing to this day. Every year they come up.
And you hate them.
Yeah, they come up every year.
Well, yeah, but yes. Now, Darren held my legs as I dipped in the skips at the back of the NEC after the Gardeners World Show many years ago. And yeah, they chucked loads of bulbs, lily bulbs away. So Darren held my legs. I went and got hundreds of them and distributed them at work, you being one of the recipients. But they were yellow. And then, if I remember correctly, they're orange now, aren't they? Didn't they defer colour?
They are bright orange. Yes, they are bright orange.
Tangled. Yeah. I remember you coming to work.
You've got a horrible colour. Horrible colour. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
I come into my house every day and look at them and think, oh, thanks,
gross.
Molly Green. Gross.
I've tangoed your garden. I remember, yeah, you were quite annoyed. Brilliant. Oh, I must ask you, what is your favourite flower? Oh, obviously not orange lilies. So what would it be?
I don't have a flower. I like magnolia. Mm. I've got two magnolia trees and I love them. When they're out, you know, in another 4 or 5 weeks, they just are magnificent and they smell beautiful.
And when we have the beautiful chocolate box pretty blue sky, crisp days, the colour, if you're underneath them or driving underneath them, you look up the colour of the magnolia against the sky, it does your soul good, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I've got a big, I'm looking at it now outside the window, I've got a big one just to the left of the kitchen. I've chopped it back hard this year because it is massive. It has grown out of proportion and it's unbalanced. So I balanced it again this year. So I noticed there's lots of new shoots coming.
Oh, fair. Well, there you go then. There you are, green fingered.
No, I ain't. My son did it.
Oh. He stood there, went there, and cut a bit off there.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Delegation's what you need. Well, thank you for talking a bit of horticulture with us, our Pete.
Cheers, Mel. Yeah, I'll give you a call. All right.
Safe journey.
See you later.
Ta-ra, bub.
Cheers.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Happy Garden Podcast. How fabulous to hear from Pete Waterman and have a chat with him on the Happy Garden Podcast about all things gardening. Pete Waterman having the king give him lavender cuttings. The pressure, Darren, to keep them alive, but they still rotted off.
I'd just buy new plants, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah, to prove it.
I'd probably press the king's dead lavender after it had died because it's so special. And I mean, there's so many things. Darren, check your mousetrap alarm went off in the middle of the interview as he was talking about iGrove.
I wondered what that was. I thought I was in outer space.
That check the mousetrap alarm goes off everywhere. When I am
when I do still do cover at the BBC, it goes off during the news. It goes. I've been told off about that so many times. Anyway, it was lovely to hear from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's a brilliant guy. Really down to earth.
He's just a down to earth, lovely man. So, yeah. Pete, thank you very much for coming on the Happy Garden podcast. It was lovely to hear from you. Right, what are we up to now? Let's get back to some of your questions. The Happy Garden podcast at gmail.com is our email for any advice that you need from Darren or sharing success stories or tips, money saving, anything at all. That's one of the ways. In fact, let me give you all of the ways to get in touch.
Get interactive with Molly. Lovely show. Professionals.
Come on.
Get interactive with Molly and Darren. Follow them on social media. It's a bit like stalking. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast on Instagram or Facebook.
So here's an email from Charlotte. Darren, I forwarded you this morning, didn't I, for the pictures? Yeah, yeah, you've
you
seen
did,
the pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Darren, a few weeks ago, I think I've held up quite well, actually, Darren.
Yeah, you're doing really well.
I think I am as well. Thank you. A few weeks ago, I asked for your advice on moving my Acer from a cracked pot. You requested a photo when it was all done. So I've attached it below, along with a few other winter delights from my garden, including a homemade planter full of winter sunshine. Could I now be affectionately known as Cracked Pot Charlotte? Or is that too risky? as it could lead to some unsavoury comments if it was mispronounced. The last few years, I thought, because we like to give our listeners pet names, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, like constipated cat Simon, that sort of thing. For the last few years, I thought Egypt Jean was Egypt Jean. As I thought maybe she'd made multiple gardening errors. So, Egypt. Oh, my Egypt Jean. No, she's Egypt Jean, because when we first met her, she'd just come back from Egypt. Thank you for being wonderful at what you do and making us smile and chuckle every week. And that is, she's named it, she signed it Charlotte, but we will now call her Cracked Pot. Or Crack for short. Darren.
You can't call her Crack.
Can't you? It's affectionate.
It's short for.
Anyway, wasn't it nice, though, to have some sort of follow-on? If I remember correctly, her Acer was in this big pot that had a crack, so she needed to move it. Because you were giving lots of advice on sort of having forethought, not if you're going to have a plant that's going to grow really big. It's the shape, isn't it, Darren? If it outgrows the pot and it's a specific shape at the top, you literally have to destroy the pot to get it out, don't you?
Well, that's it, Crack. You see, you just have to. If it's got a lip, it's things
that's
like
the one, the lip.
You know, yeah, the lip underneath, the lip. Especially bulbous plants. Now they get really, really stuck in the pot, don't they?
Yeah.
And you can't get them out, and you end up cracking the pot. Well, you know, so Crackpot Charlotte. There you go.
Oh, for short. Thank you ever so much for getting in touch. That's ace. Right, should we get Andy Lound on?
Yeah.
It's amazed and astounded with Andy Lound. He is a historian of amazing talent. You give him a subject and he can give you a full-size essay on it. He's absolutely brilliant. Anything you'd like him to investigate, by the way, horticulturally speaking, any sort of... I can't ad-lib, Darren, I'm too tired. Any kind of... Darren?
What?
Want to help me?
Any topics that you would
that's
like Andy
topic,
Lound?
That's the word.
One of my jokes is about a topic.
Is it? Oh, no, have you given away the punchline now?
No.
We haven't had a topic in years. What was I saying then?
Smaller than they were, you know.
Are they? Probably
yeah,
the same
like
price.
Old chocolate bars.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked at a Mars bar the other day because I'd gone low on the old blood sugar.
Oh,
front.
God.
So it's a good Mars bar, you know. And it's just tiny.
Mars bars used to be massive, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's because we were smaller. I seem bigger.
That's sweet. What were we saying? Why did we say topic?
Topic, because Andy Lound can talk about
any topic.
Can it?
Yes.
Any topic. And, you know, get in touch, folks, and let us know what topic you would like Andy Lound to discuss.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit. Oh, no, that's club.
That's club.
Oh, wrong one. Okay. Don't think topic had a strap line, did it? Anyway, look, did it?
Yeah.
Go on.
What has a hazelnut in every bite?
Was that topic?
Yeah.
Darren, look at you with your encyclopedic knowledge of chocolate bars.
But there's an alternative answer.
Go on.
Squirrel poo.
Oh, you're on fire today. Anyone would have thought that you were at my party last night.
That's one of my six jokes. I've only got five jokes now.
When is jokes? I don't even know what sheet we're on. Hang on. So we're done crack. Oh, yes, we're about to do Andy Lound, aren't we? This is possibly the most unprofessional. I'll take full responsibility for today because I am. Well, it's only because I'm celebrating. I did celebrate Chinese New Year. I mean, it was, you know.
You're not going to drive today, are you?
God, no. I'm literally going straight to bed as soon as you and I have finished. With a cold compress on my eyes. Right, where were we?
What has a hazelnut in every bite?
No, after that. What
after Andy that? Lound. You were going to put Andy Lound on.
For God's sake.
Come on, get him on.
I hope Andy's not listening to this. He'll be mortified.
Get him on.
It's been like a 10-minute run-up to getting him on. Right, so today, what's he doing?
I don't know.
Hang on.
Oh, it's the history of grass pitches. That's what it was.
It's Andy Lound and the history of grass pitches.
There you go.
But the...
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Lound. That's me. Good morning, Molly and Darren. Today, let's take a moment to appreciate one of the most iconic elements of sports and recreation, the humble grass pitch. Whether hosting a spirited football match or providing a lush carpet for outdoor activities, grass pitches are more than just playing surfaces. They are canvases where athleticism, strategy, and nature converge. First and foremost, the aesthetic appeal of a well-maintained grass pitch is undeniable. The vivid green expanse creates a visually pleasing backdrop for sports enthusiasts and spectators alike. The meticulous patterns mown into the grass, often seen in football stadiums, add an extra layer of artistry to these natural stages. This all began with the invention of the lawnmower. Please refer to a previous edition. Beneath the surface lies a world of scientific precision. Groundsmen and turf managers employ a combination of expertise, technology, and care to maintain the health of the grass. Soil competition, drainage systems, and grass varieties are all carefully considered to create a resilient, high-performing playing surface. The choice of grass varieties is a critical factor in pitch maintenance. Different types of grass offer varying levels of durability, texture, and response to environmental conditions. Warm season and cool season grasses are selected based on the climate of the region, ensuring optimal growth and playability. Grass pitches also contribute to environmental sustainability. The natural absorption and filtration properties of grass help manage water runoff, prevent soil erosion, and support biodiversity. Well-maintained grass pitches serve as green lungs within urban areas, promoting a healthier environment. For athletes, the quality of the playing surface is paramount. A well-managed grass pitch provides a consistent and safe playing environment, reducing the risk of injuries. Groundsmen carefully monitor factors such as grass height, compaction, and irrigation to maintain optimal playing conditions. Of course, maintaining a perfect grass pitch is not without its challenges. Harsh weather, heavy use, and pests can pose threats to the pristine green surface. Integrated pest management, aeration, and overseeding are among the many techniques employed to overcome these challenges and keep the pitch in tip-top condition. Grass pitches are not merely patches of green, they are dynamic arenas where nature and human activity harmonise. from the meticulous science that goes into their maintenance to the joy they bring to athletes and communities. Grass pitches embody the intersection of nature and sport. So the next time you step onto or admire a well-tended grass pitch, take a time to appreciate the living canvas beneath your feet. I have had many a pleasurable moment lying down on a lawn. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
Well done, Andy. And Andy Lound, everyone. We always get a little insight to Andy at the end of at the end of Amazing the Stone. Nice one, Andy. Oh, what a podcast. Now listen, I've got five pages in front of me, and I don't know.
Five?
I don't, yep. Right, hang on. Done that one.
It's four. Oh no.
Hello? Hang on, I only put Andy Lounge sheet down there and I seem to have turned into some sort of monster. Oh, Darren. I haven't touched those buttons since Halloween. Wait, hang on. Oh, I forgot about these
buttons.
Oh no, I knew the mice would have to come in.
No, it's the chipmunk button.
No, it's
the chipmunk. Oh, it's the chipmunk. I totally forgot about these buttons. Ooh, what else have we got? Hang on.
We were all hoping you'd forgotten about these buttons.
Darren Rudge to aisle five, please. Darren Rudge to aisle five.
I am a robot. A small robot. Stop that. Stupidness. So we've done Andy Lound. Thank you, Andy Lound. Darren, we are nearly done-ish. Let's go to another question. This is from Andrea. Oh, this is so nice. Molly, Darren, thank you for turning your show into a podcast. It's great to hear you every week. My question is about my aloe vera plant. Now, it's only small, maybe 4 inches tall. I don't water it very often, maybe once a month. It has started to go a little brown at the base. I'm not sure if I'm underwatering it or overwatering it. Does it need feeding or repotting? And what makes them happy? Thank you again. And that is from Andrea.
Aloe veras are seriously trendy plants. Can you still say trendy?
Yeah, trendy's trendy. Yeah.
That's all right then. Well, that's a seriously trendy plant. And I think what you're doing, Andrea, is you're being very, very kind to it. Now, this is a succulent. So this plant is used to dry conditions, hot sunshine. So it can sit on your windowsill in full sunlight with very, very little water. So the fact that it's going brown means that you are overwatering it. Even if it's just once a month, it's too much. Put some gravel on the surface, some horticultural grit on the surface as well. So that will just get what we call the epicotyl, which is where the stem goes into the compost. You need something, i.e. horticultural grit, to be between the actual compost and the actual aloe vera plant itself. So you just mulch, just an inch or so of mulch on top of the pot, and that will stop water from sitting on the pot. But get a saucer. Pop the pot in a saucer and water from the base. Don't water from the top. But literally, it will need very, very little water at all. These plants come from deserts. That's what they used to. Hot sunshine, you know, it's bulletproof unless you overwater it. And you're being too kind to it. So stop watering, mulch of horticultural grit, a saucer underneath and water from the actual base, and it will be fine for you. There you go, Andrea.
Can you reverse the sort of browning at the base, or is it too late once that happens? Or
it just depends on whether rotting is actually occurring. So what you can do is just give the actual leaves, but the big fleshy things, just give them a little tug, and if they pull away, then pull them off, but just leave them if not, okay? What's wrong with that?
Sorry, Darren, sorry, you were saying.
And if they come away, then you could just obviously bin them.
Okay.
But if not, that'll be okay. It'll be fine for you.
Okay. Thank you, Andrea.
I'm Pete Waterman, and you're listening to the Happy Garden Podcast. It's always better the devil you mow.
We're going to do some jokes shortly, because I don't think there's been enough, you know, lighten the mood. So we'll do some gardening jokes shortly. However, I did want to talk to you, almost finally, because we haven't got much time left. I did go to Packwood House. I did say on the last podcast that I was going to go. So, yeah, we used our voucher, and so we got in free. And it was amazing. I don't think I've ever been to Packwood House. It's Lapworth in Warwickshire. The gardens, as you gave us a heads up last week, Darren, on the podcast, it's the ancient yew gardens, which are hundreds and, I think, 300 or 400 years old, these yew trees. What an amazing place. I love National Trust properties.
Yeah. Packwood in Lapworth is a wonderful, wonderful National Trust site to go and visit. And the ancient yews, yeah, they're about 300 years old. Mm-hmm. You can't believe what they might or might not have seen, can you?
And all the stories they've heard and, yeah. The dalliances and the courtships and the arguments and all the things they've witnessed, yeah, whilst stood there.
And, you know, you... not me, you. It's one of the most resilient plants you can get, you know, for longevity. It is one of the most resilient plants and one of the most mythical plants as well. You know, it's embroiled in paganism and things like that.
Well, they're churchyard plants, aren't they? Churchyard tree, should I say.
Yeah, it's a plant to behold.
It was really, really interesting that they have hacked a fair few back sort of almost to the trunk. They've lollipopped them because the clay, the compaction of the clay, there's some of them are struggling because it was an ancient orchard, which is now full of yews, dozens of yews, but they're not all that happy in clay. So they've lollipopped them, and I think it takes about 8-10 years to sort of grow for them to grow back. So they've got like a plan, a decade plan to sustain these trees, to keep the yews going. And, sorry, go on.
Yeah, I did some maintenance on a National Trust property in Wolverhampton called Whittick Manor. We took students in there, actually. They've got the thimbles, which is on the main lawn. And literally, the idea of these thimbles is they were pruned into thimble shapes and you could walk in between them. But when we got there, you could hardly walk in between them. So Darren got his chainsaw out and we chopped them right back to the stumps. And we were quite, you know, quite happy that they were going to grow back. And now they look absolutely superb.
Yeah. I was there a couple of months ago and I thought, oh, there's my dazzler's work. It looked amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, they're really resilient plants to have in the garden. And like you say, you can just hack them back. And they'd been there sort of 200 years at least. So
Whittick's the William Morris place, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful place. Beautiful place.
The garden was designed by a gentleman called Thomas Mawson. And Mawson was a really, really, really high-powered designer for arts and crafts, but invented the first sort of landscape catalogue. He actually pulled together certain things, such as garden benches and bridges and things like that. And he actually had a catalogue that he could discuss with his clients. I've got a copy of that somewhere.
Have you?
I've got a photocopy, because I did some work on Whittick and the Mount, because it was the Mander family that owned both properties. The Mount is the hotel, which is about a quarter of a mile away.
Mm.
And the Mount was where people like you used to live, Molly, that, you know, had karaokes and frivolous nights of drunken debauchery.
There was no debauchery last night. We were all really drunk. But go ahead.
And Whittick was the other side of the family. They were very religious and it was very sober, very somber. So I actually got to ramble around the gardens at the Mount and you could see there was a little lake there originally. There was a line of oak trees. You could see, you know, where the parties were, and you could almost feel it. So it was absolutely fabulous. Wow. I love history like that. It's absolutely superb.
Well, do you know, you've just sparked something. Perhaps in 2024, the Happy Garden podcast could do a sort of a National Trust little mini-series and sort of profile some of the history and the gardens of individual National Trusts. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be really, really good to do because they're fascinating properties. And National Trust is not just, you know, 300-400 years ago. There's some quite modern properties, you know, early 20th century that have played a big part in the history of this country, not just for gardens, for actual social history. So it's wonderful. We must do that.
That's nice. Really must. Definitely an idea.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of you. We had a garden tour at Packwood. You would have loved it. They were talking about the mingle planting that they do there and also... So the heated 17th century, it was a heated wall. They used to grow peaches. It was like the hypocausts in maybe a Roman villa where they'd stoke the fire and have the sort of underfloor heating with the hypocaust. But this was vertical. So they'd heat the wall, the vertical, they'd light the fire, the heat would go into the vertical wall cavity so they could grow peaches up it. I mean, you talk about them growing exotic fruits in medieval times. Well, Tudor times, Georgian times, all the time.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And, you know, you can still do that these days. You can create what's called hotbeds with manure and compost and then topsoil, and you plant into it. As the manure and compost breaks down, it produces heat, and that's enough to give you, in an enclosed area, enough heat to actually grow pineapples, Molly. So, and certainly to keep your glasshouse frost-free, so you don't need any heating systems in your glasshouses if you've just got some manure and some topsoil, and you build sort of an 18-inch to 2-foot pile of this stuff. Let it sit for about 3 weeks and then you can plant into it or you can just put pots on top of it. And the heat that's generated will keep your glasshouse frost-free for the whole of the winter month.
Talking of manure...
You're listening to The Happy Garden with Molly Green and Darren Roach.
What a load of old manure.
Darren, that's nearly us done. We've just got jokes and jobs.
Jokes and jobs.
Unless I've forgotten anything, because I'm not all together today.
No, I don't think so. It's just jokes and jobs.
You sure?
I'll be all right. Yeah.
I needed you to guide me through. Oh. Thank you for guiding me through today.
I'm from afar. I'm stroking your brow.
That's nice. As I was doing to you last week when your eye fell out.
Yeah.
We're always here for each other, Darren. Do you know, I said on last week's podcast, there's always something, isn't there? Oh, yes. Do you know, I've had so many comments in the last week asking if you're okay, because it did actually sound like your dog was killing you.
That's Bear. He's a big dog.
But he's fine. Before we do jokes, we've heard nothing of... your dog, your cat, your wife. It's been fairly quiet in the Rudge household. Hope everyone's okay.
I am surprised that, I haven't had my coffee delivered.
Yes.
And I will be having a word.
Darren, shout down. Make sure the Rudge family's okay.
Are you all right?
Oh, God, silence. Oh, my, literally silence. Do you need to go and check?
Good Lord.
No.
No.
That's not normal.
Fine. Are you okay?
This is Rudge is fine. Okay, good. That's fine. No, that's fine, as long as we know.
Totally on point.
Okay, that's fine. Well, have you done your jokes yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now jokes in the
Go on.
Jokes and jobs.
Jokes and jobs.
Now in the Happy Garden.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
Okay. Right, Darren, today's been so miserable. Let's lighten the mood with a few jokes, horticulturally speaking.
Well, Molly, you know me. I can't stop telling folks about the benefits of eating grapes.
Oh.
Yeah? I'm all about raising awareness.
Raise. Good, Darren.
There's number one.
Yeah, good.
Number two. Marty McFly didn't need a flux capacitor.
My favourite film.
To go back to the future, Moles. All he needed was herbs, as they allowed you to travel in time.
Mm. to.
Should we move on quickly?
Is it?
Why don't bananas make good lovers?
Oh. Do they not?
If the relationship gets too intense, they split.
Three.
What's cabbage, cauliflower and broccoli's favourite prehistoric film? Brassica Park. Here we go. This is the last one.
Okay.
What did the potato do when his best friend found out he'd been smooching with his girlfriend?
Fame. I don't know.
He cheated himself.
Oh, Darren.
He cheated himself. I'm
thing I've ever heard in my life.
I think you excelled yourself with the last one.
And then, of course, the last one was, what has a hazelnut in every box?
Oh, do you know, I was about to say to you, weren't there six, but we'd already done one.
Yes.
Darren, that's about it. We'll just do some jobs for the week ahead.
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes.
Tre, de, un. Go.
OK, so we said last week that February, you know, is a busy month and it's time to get tidying, folks. So old flower stems can be tidied away now, or you can just cut them and leave them on the soil as a mulch. It's fine because then it becomes habitat for all those beasties and little bugs that need to make a happy home in your garden. The lifting and dividing of overgrown herbaceous plants can also take place. Just get them out the ground, chop them into fist-sized pieces, disregard the centre, well, pop it on the compost heap and then replant those outer pieces for some fabulous herbaceous perennials to come. It's a good time to plant new perennial plants too. So if you want to introduce new perennial flowers into the garden, it's an excellent time to plant, as well as deciduous shrubs, deciduous trees, fruit. All those sorts of things can be planted in your garden right now. Remember, the soil is warm and wet and makes an excellent time for you to actually plant. Now, finally, if you're a summer bedding person, get those seeds into your heated propagator right now.
Nice. Dazzler, I planted more ginger before we did the Happy Garden podcast today in this morning's sunshine, so I'll post some pictures on the Facebook page of that. Well, we did it. We made a fist of today.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I did.
Good.
I'm sorry if I've dragged you down.
No, it's all right. I understand. Yeah.
Kung Hei Fat Choy.
Yeah. Bless you.
Oh, dear. Darren, are you doing any talks this week? Or is that March?
No. It's March. They begin early March. Mm-hmm. So I made a concert, because I'm getting old now, I made a concerted effort not to book things.
To have a break.
In January and February, because it's dark at night.
Yeah.
And
old people driving.
Driving, you know, the eyesight, especially with the one dropping out last week. You know, I think it was just a reminder of how ancient I actually am.
Yeah, you have to worry about everyone else's safety. Yep. But in March, you're continuing with your with your talks?
Yeah, I will profile the range of talks that I've got coming up. I've got about 15, something like that, in March, and then April, May, June, July and August, and then it starts to slow down in September and October.
Well, Darren, we're not on the BBC anymore. If you want to plug yourself, if anyone wants to book Darren...
Yeah,
go ahead, Daz.
Please do. Well, you know, I do a range of talks. I do around about 35 different talks. Obviously, Teabags, Brass and Tights is the one that a lot of people book me for. But I do a whole range of historic plant propagation talks, pruning talks.
Climate change
talks, all sorts of things. You know, if you want my list, then, you know, just send me an email. Yeah, info@darrenrudge.co.uk. Yeah, and I'll send you my list of talks out and you can book me if you like.
Yeah, cool.
I'm not cheap.
Are you not? Darren, thank you so much for the Happy Garden podcast today. Thank you for looking after me.
Oh, well, you've not been right, have you?
I've not been right today.
You've not been yourself.
Certainly going to bed. I don't want anyone thinking I'm some sort of drunken lush, by the way. I was literally just celebrating Chinese... Lunar New Year.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think
it's
that's
done.
It. I think that's it. Yeah. I think we're done.
We're nearly at a quarter of a century. You know.
What is this podcast?
24.
We are nearly at a quarter of a century.
Yeah, 25. Oh, just think when we've done 1,025.
God.
Can you imagine that?
Baby steps, Darren.
Do you think people will suffer us?
I don't know. Oh, by the way, we have entered the Spotify and Apple podcast charts in Ireland this week.
Ooh.
I know, I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, hang on. Come on. This is ridiculous. It's like 20 minutes to say goodbye. So we've done mingle planting. We've done... Yeah.
Mingle planting.
This is ridiculous, Darren.
Mingle planting.
Okay, we have... Now, literally, we have... Stop it, Darren. We've about finished now. Stop being so silly. Darren, you're hindering the end of the Happy Garden podcast with your tomfoolery.
I'm sorry.
So just, yeah.
Naughty boy.
So that is about it, Darren. Just falls to me to say goodbye and have a lovely, lovely week in prospect. And, yeah, I'll see you next week for the Happy Garden podcast 25.
25, yeah.
A quarter of a century. Oh, yeah, it's a milestone. Yeah. Okay. Darren, do you want to finish with a strangulated goodbye?
But of course. Go on.
I don't know what I was going to say. I'm going to bed. Which way are you going? What are you doing now?
I'm probably going to go to bed after this because I've got a big headache.
We're such old folk, aren't we? We do the pod that we're both going to bed. Oh, God. If anyone thinks that you and I are hip-hop and happening, you're sadly mistaken. It's only 10 to 3.
Oh, no, it's 10 to 3 in the afternoon. I've got my slippers on.
So have I. I've got my pyjamas on.
I've got the dressing gown next to me in the bedroom. Going to go and have an afternoon snooze, I think.
I've got my blanket hoodie on.
Oh.
Pathetic, really, isn't it? But, Darren, if you want to say goodbye, we will wish you adieu and we shall see you on the next week's Happy Garden podcast. In the interim, happy Valentine's Day. And we'll see you next week.
Happy Valentine's Day, folks. Bye!
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for The Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.